All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you would please turn to lesson one, page number Afasha. It's really page three, on the back of page three. They're not numbered. What is your only comfort in life and death? I'm not my own, but belong to Jesus Christ. Because I belong to Him, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me live for Him. And I'm going to turn this off so no one can hear me sing. Data that each time we sing it, each week, He changes the tempo, changes, usually the words are the same, changes. I think you're doing the same chords each time, though. Same progression. Oh, really? Ah, I like that better. That was good. That was good. Well, good. Let me pray. Lord, we thank You for today, and we thank You, wow, just for the privilege it is to be Your son and to be Your daughter. Help us never become familiar with that truth that we belong to Jesus Christ. And Lord, it feels so good. And I just pray that You would help us tonight. Give us ideas. Point us to Your son. Help us to help one another. We just pray that You would be greatly glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Session 5, sharing resources for family worship. We talked about the first time, conviction for family worship. Just saying again that, you know what, this is something that we have to draw from Scripture and have as our own. Not borrow someone else's conviction or not look to someone else, some church or some tradition. But something that needs to be born out of faith, that, you know what, this is what the Lord wants us to do. Second, we talked about different elements of family worship, just different things that make up or can make up family worship, from prayer to Bible reading to psalms, different songs. We talked through all kinds of different elements. Thirdly, we did some sample family worship services for young and old. And one of the things that we really stressed, said that we're going to stress again today, is we don't want to bore people, right? When it's interesting, I was reading something today, and I think I put it in your packet, an article, and they said that most times when people reflect on family worship, people come out of traditions where they do family worship, and they said, hey, what was it like? They usually say boring. We don't want that. God's word is not boring. God's not boring. So we want to be creative, right? We want to not be locked into certain ways of doing things, that this is the only way we can do it. But God will give us creativity. He'll help us. And so that looks different for someone that's really young. It looks different for folks that are elementary age. It looks different for folks that perhaps are teenagers. But just again, to draw upon the creative creator and master of the universe while you're doing your family worship, whatever that looks like. Lesson 4, last time we talked about implementing family worship. So this was the big one, right? We've been talking about it. We've provided some resources, gave you like different songs, different ideas, Bible stories, and said, hey, now you put together a plan during class time for the next week. And our goal was to try to meet 2 to 3 times as a family and just implement that and just start. And I think that's probably the best advice that anyone's ever given me. It's advice someone said as a preacher. You know, what's the best advice you can be given when it comes to writing a sermon? And the best advice really is start. Just begin. Because you know how it is when you're writing a paper, doing something. Sometimes you want the perfect wording and the perfect introduction, and it's just like you're there sometimes for minutes, maybe hours. And the best thing to do is just to begin writing. You can edit, you can paste, you can do things later. Same thing with family worship. Listen, no one's an expert. No one's going to pull it off flawlessly. Best thing to do is just to start. You know, even if you are playing an instrument, I remember one of the lessons I learned from a guy who was I was in seminary with, and he was a worship leader and an extremely gifted pianist, jazz pianist, could do anything. But he started playing guitar, just picked up the guitar, started playing one day. And I'll never forget, he was horrible. And I had played for a number of years, and back then I would have played a lot more regularly. And I was so much better than him. as a guitar player, right? For about a week. But he kept playing, and he just kept doing it, and he was muffling strings, and his stuff just sounded terrible. But he had so much knowledge and so much skill that eventually he wasn't embarrassed. So he was playing. I would have been embarrassed to be playing the way he's playing. But he just pushed through, and the next thing you know, he was better than me in a week. You know, I've been doing it 10 years, you know. But I think that's something that we can learn from family worship same way. It's just, you know what, trust God and just begin, you know, whether it's small, whether it's just reading a verse, whether it's just, you know what, we're going to get together and pray every morning and just begin. It doesn't have to be this huge, elaborate, fully thought out, systematic way of doing family worship. The best advice I can give you is just to begin. So we're going to talk about that. In fact, let's do it now. So does anyone have any kind of encouraging stories over the week that they maybe went through and tried some of the stuff that we're talking about? Which one? Which? Oh, okay.
And it was good. And I decided to do it on Sunday.
Good.
It was when we did it before 6 o'clock because we had a lot of time on Sunday, most of the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you're boring, but...
I made it short.
Yeah, good.
And so after we finished, that was about 30 minutes to an hour. But it was good because we started.
That's fantastic. Great job. What would happen, seriously, in a family, if we did that, if we did it every Sunday, once a week, what would happen in our families? Obviously, we can't measure that, right? But I think it would revolutionize. What if every Christian, you know, that the vast majority of Christian families never do that, not one time. Do you realize that? Have an intentional family kind of worship type time. But man, oh, the benefit of just seeing Dad take the lead and say, you know what, we as a family, we're going to do this Sunday night, and this is what we're going to do Sunday night. Just that, what that communicates to the wife, to the kids, to ourselves, you know, that, wow, that, you know what, I realize that, especially Deuteronomy 6:4, that's really talking to dads to lead their families and to do it in such a way that they're doing it all the time. Just that communicates faithfulness. And here's my little pet theory that I think many times in many families, one of the greatest stumbling blocks to believing the gospel is the parents don't live the gospel. And this is what I mean. They say, hey, kids, you should forgive one another. But the dad has never one time asked one of the kids to forgive them. I mean, I've heard that story many times. My dad's never said sorry to me, never once. How can you be a dad and not have sinned against every single one of people in your family thousands of times? I don't know. I don't know how that's even possible, at least in my household, you know. But what's that communicating? The gospel says, you know what? We're forgiven in Christ. and we can forgive one another. But if someone has sinned and it's known throughout, and yet the Father's not initiating that forgiveness, we're really hindering the gospel from really taking root. And it's easy for someone to say, yeah, that stuff that we hear on Sunday, it's just all a matter of talk. Well, by doing family worship like this on Sunday, you're saying, you know what? It's not a matter of talk. And I'm not just leaving it up to the preacher. You know, I take this seriously. I take Deuteronomy 6:4. I think God's speaking to me. And this is what, and to us, and this is who we are as a family. You know? Who are you guys as a family? You ever done that exercise? What's a Lankford? You know? Seriously, what's a Haggerty? You ever thought of that? What are the Ten Commandments of the Desai family? What does it mean to grow up and be a Desai? Well, maybe one thing it means, you know what? To be a Maynard means we're going to meet on Sunday night and we are going to worship God together. And it might look differently, but that's one of the things it means to be a Maynard. We as a family are going to, you know, worship God. What a glorious opportunity to do that. Who else? Anybody else with story or...
Each time the activity, we just let them kind of act it out. The first night, didn't really get a whole lot of volunteers to be the different characters, but after we went through it once, I mean, having a large family, not everyone got a chance to participate, but then everyone else who didn't wanted to, so we actually did it twice. And then the second night, we were missing like half the kids, but that went well too. And then the third night, but yeah, and that's all that we went over. But at the end of the time, like, they wanted to do the whole story of Jonah with throwing him over the boat.
Can we throw James over? No, I want to throw Justin. Can we throw him off the top bunk, Dad? Double decker boat.
But that was something we hadn't done before.
Great. I just can't tell you how excited I get when I think about this, because I think, man, this change, this changed your life. I promise. It's not because I promise, and it's not because anything that's in any of this class, but God, when we position ourselves to receive grace, He gives it. And man, He gives it lavishly. Lavishly. I think, did I tell you a story about Proverbs 31? I tell you that story. I'm going to turn this off real quick. Session 5, sharing resources for family worship. Someone read that quote. This is from John Patton, who was just a missionary to the, I don't know how to pronounce it, the Hebrides Islands. But he was speaking of his father. And this is what he said. Someone... just read that for us. Long quote, but...
In his 17th year, that blessed custom of family prayer, morning and evening, which my father practiced proudly, without one single avoidable omission, when he lay on his deathbed, 77 years of age, when, even to the last day of his life, a portion of scripture was read, and his voice was heard softly joining in the song, and his lips breathed the morning and the evening prayer. Only the sweet benediction on the heads of all his
It's incredible, isn't it? So this person just did this practice of family worship, became known in the town, and some woman probably involved in prostitution or whatever knew about it and just would find herself listening to these Christians and how they prayed and how they interacted. And she says, you know, from her own testimony, that, you know what, that's what eventually led me to Christ. Wow, I mean, now, don't want to be discouraging. You know, the guy started at age 17 and did it all the way to 77. You know, that's pretty impressive. We don't want to feel that heaviness and that weight. I'm thinking, man, if we can do this 2 to 3 times a week, that's a really good week. If we do it once a week, man, that's good. But, you know, the one thing I'm finding this as I am helping my kids in sports. You know, if you just want to play a sport and play it, and that's great, that's what you do, but and that there's nothing wrong with that, and that's super. But if you want to be good at your sport, I'm realizing, you know what, it takes a lot of work. You have to work hard, and you have to do it almost every day. That's just how it goes. Well, same thing when we think about our goal. Remember, we talked about that first week when we were over there. What is your desire for your family? If your desire is for them to know Christ and to know Him well and be mature Christians as they graduate from your family and go on to bear much fruit in the kingdom of God, it takes consistency for that. It's not something that will happen overnight. It will not happen just coming on a Sunday morning. It won't. It's something that has to be continually worked at. Now, I don't want to paint the picture that, you know, hey, we're works related and the more family worships you do, the better. Maybe, maybe not. But there is that sense, there is that truth that the more times we do position ourselves to receive the grace of God, the more often we're going to receive that grace and the more often we're going to see benefits and results of that. Well, let me just take you through some things. What we said we want to do is just to share some resources for family worship. So last week we went through, you know, maybe 5 or 7 different kinds of plans that you might do for family worship. So if you weren't here, you can look over those. But let me just go through just a few things, and this isn't many, but some things that might be helpful to you in the future. Some of these things have to do directly with family worship. Others maybe with just developing your faith in your family, and maybe some possible resources for you guys in the future. One of the things, media resources, I think has been the most helpful for us is this Nest Entertainment videos. I don't know if you're familiar with those. They're really good. I don't know if they're Christians that put it out. They make, maybe they are, but they're accurate, and they're animated really well. It's the guy that's Disney animator. And those tapes for us have been exceedingly helpful. They're expensive, and they have been worth every single penny. Not so much so that we had all the Old Testament, New Testament ones. They've made 12 new ones. Now there's like 36, I think. But I just bought, we just purchased the New Testament on CD again because I felt like our youngest boy, she's really behind the eight ball when it comes to Bible stories in comparison to where everybody else was, and just thought, man, we're going to buy them again, even though we have some on cassette tape. We're going to buy them on CD because it's just helpful to lay that groundwork. So I look into that. It's like $236 for 12 of them, like 4 middle fours for the set, Old Testament, New Testament, 24. Now for 36, I think it's like $500. You guys have them as well, don't you? You have the new ones as well? Yeah, they're about the same price, which is great. But those things are just great, great resources. You know, when you think about, you know, just, you know, there's a few things that I would be willing to invest in. You know, money's not an object. If you get a good Bible, that's helpful to have a study Bible. But that's one of them, something like that would aid folks and help them. I mean, a lot of the stuff is directly taken right out of the scriptures, and just appreciate it. Bible cassette tapes, obviously, I think that's just helpful and no-brainer, you know, to maybe even be playing as they're sleeping. Here's a song website for you guys to be able to That's our site that you have access to every song we sing. You can get the chords for it. You can get everything you want. So that, I forget how many songs are on there. Any of you guys know? It's hundreds, right? Probably at least a couple hundred, we think. If you're doing family worship, want to include song, you can just download it, just print it. Whether you play it on guitar or piano or you just sing them, those are there for you. No, but as Mike said, which was very helpful, just about any song that you can think of, you can just get it on YouTube, or somewhere on the internet. And that might be a great place to start. If you don't play, and you want to do Greatest Thy Faithfulness, you can just call it up on the computer and there will be multiple renditions, of that you can just play and sing along. And some of them might even be singing along. They might even have the lyrics, or a lot of them do, the lyrics right below. So, I mean, just great resources out there right now. It's all what? Oh, really? Okay. Okay. Well, the thing I thought that would be most helpful for you guys and for me with family worship was, we talked about this last time, was this book, this Terry L. Johnson, the Family Worship Book. Remember I said this is more traditional and some stuff's kind of dry, but great ideas, most helpful. So I think this would be, if you had one resource, this would be the most important resource to get. Don't write it down because I bought one for all you guys, or the church did. So Connie ordered them, and we would have had them today, but she's picking them up tomorrow. So she'll have them for you on Sunday. So make sure you get this. The thing that's so helpful is, this has all the catechisms, has all kinds of Bible reading plans, has all kinds of structure that you can try, has all the creeds, all the prayers, just about everything you can think of. That's contained in this book. Here's the hymnal and the Psalter. It's all here, with top 50 songs or whatever. Just exceedingly helpful calendar for memorizing psalms and hymns. I mean, just about any. If you did this, you would be in really good shape. So anyway, make sure you pick those up from Connie on Sunday. Just say, hey, I'm in Bruce's class. Give me my book. Thank you very much. And thank her, because she called and made all those arrangements. But so I had some helpful books there, Thoughts on Family Worship. There's some other ones if you're interested. But if you had that, you'd be in really good shape. One of the things for young kids, if I was going to invest in any book series, and I know Floyd has already done this, that Lamplighter series, my two favorite books all time in this series are one called The Hedge of Thorns, which is about a guy that gets into trouble because he doesn't trust Christ. And it's got wonderful lessons. And The Three Weavers, if you have a girl or are going to have a girl, I would get that book and I would read it with her over and over and over and over again. So it's a special book designed specifically for dads and the girls, trying to teach them the value of maintaining their purity for the prince who's to come later. But just wonderful stories, wonderful godly authors, and the entire series really focusing on what it looks like to live the Christian life. So there's some helpful books there for you. If you turn the page, this is what we're doing as a family right now. This is from Daniel Baker. He's a pastor at a Sovereign Grace Church in Apex, which is basically Raleigh, North Carolina. And he went through and he just said, hey, what are 50 chapters of the Bible that are appropriate for young kids who can read, but you're not getting into too much of the, stuff that takes a ton of explaining, what is a concubine and those kind of things. And so he came up with these 50 chapters. So we're doing this today. We were on Matthew 3. So that's what all of our family's doing. And we were doing that as a way, so when we do family worship, it makes it so easy. Everyone, I have one of my kids make a copy of this, and their job was to paste it on everyone's door on the back of their door. And so everyone knows when they wake up, that's what we're doing today. We're doing Matthew we did Matthew chapter 4 today. Matthew chapter 4, temptation of Christ. Everyone's doing the same thing. So if we were not meeting here on Wednesday and we were to have family worship, you know, all I have to do, we sit down, we say, hey, who'd like to pray? Okay, you pray. And then say something like this. You know what? Hey, what stood out to you guys today? Hannah, what stood out to you today in Matthew chapter 4? And then we go from there. And that's our family worship. And it's so easy because everyone's on the same plan. It helps me as a dad keep track. It helps me make sure everyone's doing the same thing. It provides structure for me. I love it. You know, it's like, wow. But so that's there for you if you want to make a copy of that or just use this copy of that. Use that. That's 50 there. If you look at the next page, this is Robert Murray McShane's Reading Through the Bible in a Year. So I know it's small print there. But he basically has a program of Bible reading that if you were to read four chapters a day, you'd read through the entire Bible. You would read through the Psalms like maybe twice and the New Testament twice and maybe the Psalms three or four times or something like that in a year's time. And so that's his program. So we've done that before. That was too much for our family to read four chapters a day. So we kind of just split it up. One year we just did, okay, we're just doing two chapters, whatever the first two chapters are, that's what we're going to do. And the next year we just did the second two. And so we did that. So we went all the way through, did that for a couple years. And that was helpful. I think it gave folks, sometimes that can be kind of dry because you're like, oh boy, I'm reading Leviticus chapter 7. Okay, okay, you know, close the Bible. Okay, I'm done. But listen, better than nothing. When you're getting God's word, even if the attitude's not the best, even though if they're reading just to check off a box, listen, here's God's promise that my word will never go out and return to me empty or void. It will always accomplish the purposes that I've set for. So here's what I know. If God's word gets into their heart and they're reading it, something's happening, whether they like it or not. And so that's Robert Murray McShane's plan. Now, he has there's a companion book with this. D.A. Carson put out a book called For the Love of God, and that's on your book list. And what he did is just a short one-page devotion. And he would pick one of those four chapters and just do a small one-page devotion on, you know, one of those verses in that section. And he would do that. And so that was meant to be a companion to this Robert Murray McShane Bible reading program. So that's something for you to look at and to consider. There in the... Oh, do they? You can get it on your app, too. You can get it, can't you? Yeah, I think I saw that too. Yeah, where they tell you and you can have devotional there, and then have the whatever the reading is for that day. Yeah, and so if you look on this next page there, Bible reading plans. Here's 14 different Bible reading plans. You can go to that website, if you wanted to read the Old Testament in a year, if you wanted to read the words of Jesus four times in a year, there's 14 different plans that you could do. You just go there, click on it, and just copy it and use it. So, man, there are so many resources for us as Christians now to really be helping our kids and helping our family. And probably one of the most important is just to try to think of...
Can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah.
Just if you would just... Yeah, it's when you fill out those forms, put the name of the class on the top. That way we can keep track of which class they're for.
Okay. You can pass this out for me if you would. He's talking about the evaluation forms. If you haven't got on some Bible reading plan, just get on one. I think it'll be really helpful. Whether it's for you personally or someone, just try it out. Maybe give it a test drive and see how it would work. If you want to come up with something yourself, you know, like I said, like we were doing earlier in the year where we're going through the book of Acts, and so we just decided to do Acts chapter 1 on January 1st, Acts chapter 2 on January 2nd, Acts chapter 3, January 2nd, and we did that all the way through January, and then we did it again February, we did it again March, And if there was a couple extra days, we just said, read whatever you want. And then we got back on the program. So we did it three times, going through the book of Acts. Oh, thanks. One of the ideas you might be thinking about right now is it's summertime. And this is something that was really helpful for me, is, and I'll show you some stuff in the back, is to maybe get on a summer reading program. I don't know, for our family, we don't do a lot of things well, but our kids, for whatever reason, they read well. And so I thought, you know what, how can we're not this great worship family that everyone's musically gifted and talented, and we can just have wonderful jam sessions and praise sessions, but we can read, so what can we do? And so I've done a number of years just kind of a summer reading program where just go and say, hey, have a list of books to put in their hands. You know, something like those lamplighter books that are very entertaining and kid-friendly. You know, biographies, difference depends on the age of the kid. You know, storybooks like maybe R.C. Sproul's The Priest with Dirty Clothes. And we just would have our kids, we did this for a couple years, not consistently, not every week, but we had a weekly book report. So they could read books really fast, and so we had them read a book a week, and then we all got together in family worship on Monday, and we just did our book reports. And so they had to stand in front and say, hey, I did J.C. Ryle's Holiness, and they would just have their paper, and they would just give a report. It helped them to articulate things. It helped them to stand in front of people, begin to articulate ideas. But there are good kid books that you can have in that a program like that, where I know as kids got a little bit older, we'd have them do like the Chronicles of Narnia, or, you know, so someone like John, who's 7 years old, who's starting to read and doing well, we would have easy books, you know, for him to read, maybe, you know, 20 pages, big letters, you know. But just there are a number of different stories and books that would be really helpful. But that might be something to think about during the summer, to keep people on track and just to continue to grow them in doctrine and grow them in their knowledge of the Lord. Just some other activities that you might kind of include or think about that aren't family worship, but family game night. I know a lot of you guys do that. That's just a special time to build in as a family, especially young kids. I don't know how many different things we've done. I can't even keep track of times where we just play putt-putt golf in the house, or make up some volleyball game, or I do some game where I throw stuff at everyone. I dive on the couch and catch. I mean, they loved, you know, that kind of stuff. But what I'm trying to say is, was family worship is to be creative, you know, to include things that doesn't have to be, all right, everyone, please rise. You know, Benedict, would you please begin with our call to worship? You know, and then, you know, I mean, if that works for you, great. Probably doesn't work for everyone. But just think creatively, how can we, as a family, creatively get the Word of God into them? How can we show them how great God is? What kind of activities can we plan and do just to teach them things? So we did something that somebody just suggested to us, and we did this for years and years and years, had a whistle and just called it Surprise Night. And so it might be 2 in the morning. We're a late-night family. It might be 2 in the morning. All of a sudden, I blow a whistle, beep, 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 and everyone's wake up, and they knew what that meant. When that whistle blew, you had like 60 seconds to get into the car because we were going somewhere fun. And it maybe be 2 in the morning, and we just went up and got Dunkin' Donuts, you know, and we just ate donuts or thing. But it was Surprise Night. And we're trying to teach them that, you know what, this is how, or maybe do it 10 in the morning, I don't know. But this is how we're trying to teach them, this is who God is. He loves to surprise his children with gifts. He loves to do things that are fun like that. But just activities like that, that we can take everyday, ordinary things and teach our kids about God. I want my kids to be able to think about God when they walk, when they rise, when they get up, when they lay down, when they walk along the way. You know, that's what Deuteronomy 6:4 says. You know, so how can we creatively just do things that kind of build around this, you know, family worship? So just some thoughts that you might incorporate. So here, next page is 25 Psalms to memorize. These were Psalms that were given to me in seminary that we had to know and didn't have to memorize them verbatim, but we had to know all of them. And they are selected by, you know, folks that would be far smarter than I, say, hey, these 25, all 150 Psalms are important and good, but these 25 are the classics, if you will. So that's a great way just to do, you know, family worship. You know what? We're going to do family worship. We're just going to memorize Psalm 23. And young kids can do that. Very young kids can do it. My 2-year-old can do a lot of it. You know, and it just by repetition, and you have to prompt her, you know, maybe she just get a word here, miss 3 words here, but just trying to think of ways, hey, how can we, you know, as a mom and dad, show them that, hey, we value these things and let's get them into their hearts. So those are there for you, kind of top 25 Psalms or classic Psalms, if you will. The next section after that is, this is our family book list. Now, a couple caveats for this. Please don't show this to anybody else. And I mean that. And the reason why I'm saying that is there's some books on here that people might think, what on earth is the pastor having his kids read these books? That's okay. I want my kids to be able to interact, you know, with the world in a way that's where they're informed. And for a lot of these things, so when we do these reports, this is their list that they had to choose from. And I don't have every single one of these books, but I have most of them. And so they would choose them. So when we go on vacation, everyone would take a couple books with them, and that's what they would do while they're driving down in the car. They would, you know, read one of their things that be part of their part of their book. So lots of different categories. So Salvation, so Saved Beyond a Doubt by John MacArthur. Growing Up Christian, that's a great book. If you haven't got that one, talking about what it's like to probably be in your families. That would be my number one selection in that. Wasted Faith, The Eaglet. Now, that was one of the books that we would have for someone like John to read, or I don't know how many times my kids would do that book report over and over again, because it's a little pamphlet. It's probably got a lot of pictures. You know, it's probably 10 pages long, you know, probably takes 7 minutes to read even for, you know, a young, very young person. But man, it expresses a great story that really teaches them about salvation, etc. So Salvation, Christian Classics, Evangelism, History, Apologetics, Biographies. My kids probably like biographies more than anything else. And there's great series that you can get just in the Christian bookstore, just on a biography of William Wilberforce. And it's I think they're called Christian Classics, and they're these little white. They're not long. Probably a 10-year-old can read them, and read them fine. But really, it's just great, great stories for them to hear and just to be inspired by other people of the faith. So theology, just things that I think would be important to eventually read one way or another. Christian Living, hermeneutics, devotionals, fantasy or popular reading, stuff about the church, stuff about missions, stuff about the gospel of Christ, marriage, parenting, ladies reading, guys reading, church in the world, instructional books, classics, various secular readings. And this was the section I was talking about that. You know, I'm not advocating, hey, go read Nietzsche, but it would be helpful to eventually know a little bit about him. So of his sports books or whatever you might think that, hey, this would really benefit. Okay, so this is just our list. And the object here for us was to try to read these before we graduated from our family. Now, as you know, my oldest son, I would say he hasn't read all these, but I'd say 90-something percent of them. And the list just keeps growing, and my kids hate that. You know, it's like, oh, no, here's more books. Like, come on, Dad, that's enough. 250 or whatever it is, that's plenty. But, boy, if you could just be getting good books, you know, most homeschool folks, they read a lot of books. But sometimes the books aren't really that good that they're reading. You know, or in other words, they could be reading some books that would do their souls a lot more benefit, for lack of better phraseology. So that was just some examples. And so family reading list, it's a page there for you. This is something we did on Thanksgiving, gratitude and Thanksgiving exercise. Great time to do family worship. Just some questions there that they can be writing down and thinking through. Just something that we did one time. And I don't write things like this very often. This is just something I was looking through. Hey, this might be helpful for you if there's a question there that you think, boy, you know, we're not really all that grateful lately. You know, hey, this might be something to do. Don't feel like it's so elaborate. We certainly didn't go through however many questions those are. Probably picked one of them. Don't even remember what we did. But anyway, something like that might be helpful for you. This next page, this is something I did for family members. And I just took two ways to live that we did as a church. And I just wrote it out because I sent it to someone in our family who very concerned about, didn't know Christ, and just wrote it, completely out as a presentation that you could just mail someone in the mail. And they should be able to read through this and just hear the gospel as presented in two ways to live with the pictures and that kind of thing. But that might be something as family worship that you go through, you know, together. Hey, let's go through two ways to live. Let's work on drawing these six boxes. Let's draw this box one. Let's talk about it and just teaching your kids how to share the gospel. So that's just something that did a while back. These next couple stuff are some short articles, a page and a half on family worship, the what, when, how of family worship. This might have been off the Gospel Coalition blog. Second thoughts on family worship, just someone saying, hey, that just make sure it's not boring. And some good points. This is a treasure hunt we did one time, and I just put it there for whatever reason. You can throw it away, put it in the litter box or whatever. But just trying to, are there ways that we can just be creative to help our kids have a love for God? So questions or thoughts or suggestions that you might have that might serve us.
And the other puzzle is Daniel and the Lion's Den. She likes puzzles, so what I do is we get together as a family, also Ariana and Aaron, my 6-year-old, and she'll do the puzzle. It'll take her long, but she likes that she'll master. But not only that, she visually sees the picture of David, the sling, and Goliath standing in the lead. I have my 13-year-old to meet the school.
That's a great idea.
As we're doing that, the Lord will just bring things to you to discuss and ask questions. But it's something that she likes. And then when she gets really good at it, we have an hourglass. She likes that. It's a little competition. She'll get in there. If she wants to get in, I can talk to her about it. Sister's trying to sleep, but she's talking, so we tell her to be quiet and put night music on. Night music is Christian songs. Kids, in place of rock and time, I'll get up and roll and it's still quiet. But that helps her to remember the songs. And it's kind of like keeping her spirit.
That's great.
So this is two suggestions.
That's a great idea. Who else, Faith?
Question. I've been thinking about doing this, but I don't know if maybe you have, having children that are a little bit older than mine. What are your thoughts on having maybe some of the older ones take a night and have them be responsible for leading family worship?
Oh, yeah. It's great. Yeah, do that all the time. Yep. That'd That's fantastic. Guys and gals. Yeah, and let them do it. When I'm gone, that's kind of a requirement. You know, someone does it, you know, whether it's hen or, you know, one of the kids. And, yeah. And, listen, I wish I... You know what sometimes our best family worships are? When other people come over, to be honest with you. And it's like kids are discussing things. And it seems like, you know, and I'm like, man, why don't you guys do this when we're just alone as a family? Is it just you want to look good or, you know, or what? But, you know, hey, I'll take it, you know. So that's okay. So even if they're... And I don't know how many times it's been frustrating. Hey, what do you think about this? And I don't know. Like, well, hey, what do you think? I don't know. Well, what do you think of this? I don't know. Well, have you? Can you think? And you know, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. So many times there are times when we started out family worship, and the next thing you know, I'm sinning, arguing, yelling, and you know, I failed many, many times. So I don't want to give you the picture that oh, we come in the chick household and all. Nine people line up and they sit on the couch. Usually our two-year-olds jumping around, you know, getting on the couch. Just to sit there, that's a big discipline for her. But eventually, you know, as they continue to do it, man, I think it's just going to bear so much fruit. So, yeah, I think that's a great idea to have other people lead. Or even come up with ideas, and that way you don't have to. What else? Zach, you have anything? Any suggestions? Any thoughts? So what's the most important thing we can do when it comes to family worship? Yes, just start. You know, and let God help you, and He will, and it'll morph, it'll change. And man, you will be better for it. Your family will be closer, I think, and you'll know more about God. And you know, I've learned so much. My best sermons by far are Monday morning when we're talking about stuff afterward many times. And we haven't done that in a long time. But, you know, I'd be thinking, kicking myself because they'd have good questions or good thoughts or good points. You know, and I'm like, man, when I say that, should have done that or oh, boy. But it's just been great for us. Just something easy, you know, just to use the sermon or use the Sunday school class. That folks were in children's ministry and just talk about that. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, there's so many resources for us. Well, thank you guys for being in this class. Thank you for doing what you're doing. I'm excited. Let me know how it's going. And maybe we can get together sometime in the future, maybe just as a class, and we could just go over the Haggerty house and let him do family worship. No, I'm serious about that. I think it would just be cool just to go around and just, yeah. Yeah, and maybe, you know, maybe someone brings snacks and we're just, you know what, we're going to have family worship with the Langfords this week and we're just going to go over there and, you know, Mr. Langford's going to lead it and we're just going to go over there and eat snacks and learn about the Lord together, you know? Yeah. So, oh, okay, we can do it. We can do it. We'll probably sleep later, but that's okay. Well, guys, there's evaluation forms. If you wouldn't mind just taking a minute or two just to fill that out, that'd be helpful for me. We look at all these and review them, and it's just helpful to get feedback, especially things you think that we could have done better so that when we do it next time or things that you would have done or just goofball things that I did or whatever, you're not going to offend me. So put the name of the class on top. If you would, before you do anything, as Spencer said, if you could just give some... Did you get one, Zach? Okay. Yeah, if you could just give feedback, that would be really helpful to us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That would be great. Well, thank you guys.